Today's shiur is Masechta Yevam, Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes, Siman Aleph, the first words. Tana Rabbanan, Yesh Choylutz Li'ima Masafik. There could be a situation where one will give his mother Chalitza, L'choysay Masafik, his daughter, his sister, and Labita Masafik, and his daughter. And the Gemara goes through each one of the scenarios. First case, Ketzad Imoy. What's the case of his mother? So the scenario, the story goes as follows. We have a couple, the name is Yaakov and Rachel. And they have a son whose name is Yosef. Then we have another couple, their name is Reuven and Chana. And they have a son called Chetzron. Rachel has another son from Yaakov. We'll call him Mr. Aleph. And Chana has another son from Reuven, and we'll call him Mr. Beis. Going back to the scenarios that we painted in the Mishnah, these two children, that's going to be the case in a lot of the cases that we're discussing today, these two children, Aleph and Beis, got confused. So we don't know who is Aleph and who is Beis. Now, what happens is that Yosef, and now Yaakov and Reuven pass away. Yosef, who's the son of Yaakov and Rachel, marries Chana, who's now a widow because her husband Reuven died. Chetzron, who's the son of Chana and Reuven, marries Rachel, because Rachel's now a widow because Yaakov died. And now Yosef and Chetzron die without children. Their wives, Rachel and Chana, are obligated in Yibam, Yosef and Chetzron dying without children. And Aleph and Beis, being the brothers of Yosef and Chetzron, since we don't know who is who, end up doing Chalitza on both. And one ends up being his mother. So we have a situation where a mother receives chalitza from her son. Ima ketzat, so we'll just read the words of the Gemara inside. Ima visha cheres, you have two women, lehem shnei zecharim, they had these two sons, Yosef and Chetzron. V'chaz v'yoldu shnei zecharim v'machman, then they have these two sons, Alev and Beis, who get confused who is who. Obab v'nash alzeh v'nash ima shalzeh, Yosef married Chana, Chetzron married Rachel, and now Mesub Leibonim, Yosef and Chetzron pass away without any children. Zechayos l'shteyem, Aleph and Beis has to give chalitza to both of them, one of them being his mother, although he doesn't know which one is really his mother. Zechayos l'shteyem, Nimtza kalechav echad chaylitz l'imay mesafik. Next case, we said lachoysoy. We have a situation where one could do chalitza with a sister. So actually, Rashi gives two pshatim how we could have lachoysoy. We're going to learn the first pshat, which Rashi says is the pshat of the Tosefta. And Rashi says it's the pshat to prefer. If we follow the diagrams, it's actually diagram 227. The situation is as follows. We have a person whose name is Yaakov. He has two sons whose names are Reuven and Shimon. Now Yaakov goes and takes another wife whose name is Rachel, and they have a son, Yaakov and Rachel, whose name is Levi. Now Rachel and Yaakov, either Yaakov passes away or they get divorced, and Rachel goes and gets married to Moshe. Moshe has another wife. So he has now a wife from before, this gentleman called Moshe, and he's taking Rachel, who is the widow or divorcee of Yaakov. So now Rachel has a daughter from Moshe, her new husband, and Moshe's other wife has a daughter, and these two daughters get confused. So we know both of these daughters are the daughter of Moshe, They know for sure who their father is, but these two girls don't know who their mother is. Is their mother Rachel or Moshe's other wives? Now, Reuven and Shimon, who are Yaakov's sons, take these two girls as wives. And now Reuven and Shimon die without children. So their wives, who are they obligated to have even from? Levi, who's the other son of Yaakov. Now, since one of these two girls is Levi's sister, because they share a mother, Rachel, and even if your sister-in-law also happens to be your sister, she's not a candidate for Yibum. So now, neither of these women, since we don't know which one is Levi's sister, Rachel's daughter, and which is the daughter of Moshe's other wife, neither of them will be a candidate for Yibum. They both have to have chalitza, but he's giving chalitza to his sister. We'll read the Gemara inside. L'chaisa mitzafa keitzad, imai v'ishav acheres, shiyoldu shnein nekevis b'machba. His mother had these two children, and the other woman had these two girls. And we don't know whose daughter is who's their mother. Ubachem shleimes ein v'nosim, Reuven and Shimon, who are not their sister, who are not their brothers, in any way, marry these two women. And now, these two brothers die without children. Since one of these two women are Levi's sister, he's going to have to give chalitza to both of them, because you can never do yibum with your sister. Next case. Labita misafik keitzad. What's the case of his daughter? The case of his daughter is like this. Reuven has a brother. His name is let me just make sure this is the case. No, this is the case. Labitai is this case, which is okay, he doesn't have this picture here. We have the following. Reuven has two brothers, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And Kalev has two brothers, Asher and Moshe. Reuven takes a wife whose name is Leah, and they have a daughter. Kalev takes a wife whose name is Rachel, and they also have a daughter. These two girls get mixed up. We don't know who is who. And now Yitzchak and Yaakov take these two girls for wives. Let's understand what the relationship to these are. One of them is totally not related to Yitzchak and Yaakov, and one of them is a niece. The halacha is you're allowed to marry a niece. Now Yitzchak and Yaakov die without children, so their children fall to these two women fall to Yibum, but one of them is the father, because one of them is Reuven's daughter, but we don't know which one is Reuven's daughter, so that's why both Reuven and Kalev have to have chalitza, but we don't know which one is who, so since one is the father and you can never have Yibum, they only have chalitza. Reuven does chalitza to both of them because one of them may be his daughter. And the Aruch Haner says there's a gvad gechidish here, because part of the chalitza process is where the woman spits in the face of the Yavam. And we're going to have a situation where a daughter is spitting in the face of her father. And in fact, Aruch Haner points out that we learned the Gemara earlier in the Masechta where a melech doesn't do chalitza because it's inappropriate that a melech, somebody should spit in the face of a melech. Says the Aruch Haner, the halach is melech shemochel al kvoidoi. Melech has no ability to forgive his honor. So that's why he can't ever give chalitza. A father, not that I'm ever suggesting that one should spit in his father's face, but the halacha, mi'ikra hadin is av shemochel akvoidoi kvoidemochel. Therefore, under these circumstances, with the circumstance of a mitzvah, as we're going to learn actually in the next parak of Mitzvah Shem, that's part of the mitzvah's chalitza. So therefore, if that's what's necessary, that's what's necessary. We read it inside. Labita misafik keitzet. They have these two girls. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Hiramea Omer. Rameya paints the following case. Ish v'isha, we could have a situation of a man and a woman that will have they could have children, five sons they could have, and each son will represent a different nationality, so to speak. Diagram 231. Says the Gemara, Ketzad, Yisrael shalakach ever v'shivcha min ha-shuk. Of Yisrael goes to the shuk, and he buys from an akum, an eved and a shivcha. And we have to make a very important point here. The concept of eved kanani, shivcha kananis, that we speak so many times about, that's only when a Jew owns an eved. So his servant, provided that he went through the proper process, is an eved kanani or shivcha kananis. A guy's eved is a guy. So if a Jew buys from a guy, an eved kanani and a shivcha kananis, and when he bought them, they already had two children. V'lehem shnei bonim. So those are children number aleph and number beis. What are those two children? Those two children are goyim. They're the children of full-fledged goyim. V'nezgayer me'ech mehem. And one of them becomes a ger. So one child is a goy, the one that didn't go through ger's process. And one child is a full-fledged Jew. Is a ger. It's a ger. So we already have two nationalities accounted for. Nimtza echad ger, v'echad oiv kechavim. Now that I, the Jew, bought this evidence shivcha, and as we alluded to a moment ago, if we go through the process of turning them into avodim kananim, which includes hidbilom l'shem avdus, that we take them to the mikveh and process them, so to speak, into avodim kananim, v'niskiku l'zeh, and then they have relations, and they have a child. What is the status of that child? He's an eved kanani. So we already have this couple having three nationalities. Hare kan ger, we already spoke about a ger. Hare oiv kechavim, we already spoke. The eved. Now, shichrer is a shivcha. If I go and I free the shivcha, so when I free the shivcha, the halacha, as we're going to learn in a moment, ubala eved, her husband, who I did not free, and therefore still an eved kanani, our Gemara here is going according to the man, the Omer that holds that eved, the akum, Habo Abbas Yisrael, if an Eved or Akum have relations with a Jewish woman, their child is a Mamzer. So now we have this couple. The mother, who I freed, is a full-fledged Yisraelis. The father is still an Eved. Eved Habo Abbas Yisraelis. Vlada Mamzer. So we have the fourth nationality, a Mamzer. Shichra Seshicha. Umbola Eved. So now we have four nationalities. Harei Kenger, Vev Kechavim, the Eved, Umamzer. Now, besides having freed the mother, which we said a moment ago, when we free the mother, she becomes a full-fledged Yisraelis. If I free the father, he becomes a full-fledged Yisrael. If I free the Eved Kanani. Shichur Shneim, if I free both of them, and at that point, there's two full-fledged Jews that go through a marriage, V'sim Zeh L'Zeh, so their child will be a Yisrael. Fifth nationality. Harei Kanger, Eved Kechavim, Eved Mamza Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, it's an interesting story, how one couple could have five children that are so different. Maybe it's not so interesting to find children being different from each other. But the question is, my Kamashma, what's the halachic chiddush that we just explained? Says the Gemara, what we're learning from here is that Eved Kechavim v'Eved Abba Bas Yisrael, this brisa goes according to the opinion that if an Eved has relationship with a Bas Yisrael, the child is a Mamzer. And that's how the child in this case, is a Mamzer. It's interesting to point out that the Aruch HaShulchan is not satisfied, the Aruch HaNer, I mean, is not satisfied with finding five nationalities. He wants to find some more. So he tries to come up with a case, which is not that hard to come up with, that there should be a child who's an Eved Ivri. So he says that the reason the Gemara doesn't choose that case is because an Eved Ivri is not really considered a different nationality than every Yisrael. An Eved Ivri, unfortunately, has certain rules and regulations that apply to an Eved Ivri, but that's not considered a new nationality. Similarly, he says, he also comes up with a case where one of the children could possibly be a chatzi eved and chatzi ben chayrim, a scenario that the Gemara talks about many times. We'll discuss it also in Mitzvah tomorrow's shir. So again, he says that a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chayrim is really not a new status. The eved part is an eved, and the ben chayrim part is Yisrael. And since in this mix of five nationalities that we explained, an Eved is already accounted for, a Yisrael is already accounted for, somebody who's a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayrim, really doesn't represent a new nationality. Tan Rabbanan. Now the Gemara goes on to say, Yesh Moichres Aviv, we can have a situation where somebody will end up owning and selling his father, L'habois Imay Ksubasa, in order that he could pay off his mother, Haksuba, he sells his father. What does it mean? Ketzad, Yisrael lokach eved v'shivcha min hashuk. Going back to the case that we just spoke about, a Jew buys from a goy an eved and shivcha. So they're full-fledged goyim. V'lehem ben, and they have a child from before. And like Rashi says, that child is not his eved. He never made that child into his eved. What he does now, this Jewish owner, is shichris a shivcha. He bought a eved and a shivcha. He frees the shivcha for nasa, and he marries her. Everything is fine. The shivcha, when she's freed, could become a full-fledged Jew. And when he married her, he wrote a very interesting ksuba. He wrote over all of his estate after he passes away, should go to her son, the son that was born from her and the eved, which is 100% fine. But again, he's not an Eved. The Rishonim point out, why can't he be an Eved? Because if he would be an Eved, we wouldn't accomplish anything, because Komashe Kana Eved, Kana Rabba. Now, the father dies. Who, as per the agreement, inherits the entire estate? The son. What's part of the estate that he inherits? His father, who's a servant of his stepfather. The estate owes, we've discussed this many times, the first lien that there is on an estate of any married Jewish man is his ksuba. So if he wants to pay out his mother's ksuba, he doesn't have any cash on hand, what does he do? Even if he maybe has cash, but he doesn't want to give up the cash, he sells his father. Nimsa zem moichres aviv lahagvis imek ksubasa. Says the Gemara again, It's an interesting situation, but there's really no chiddush here. Ask the Ramai Kamashmalon, what are we learning from this case? Says the Gemara, Kula Rameya here. This b'raisa represents the opinion of Rameya, who holds the Avdim Metatli, that Avadim have the same status as cash, and just like Metatli Mishtabdi L'Ksubasa, that this Mandama holds that not only is the real property owned by someone Meshubid to his ksuba, but even his liquid assets, his cash. So therefore, the avodim who have that status can be used to pay off the ksuba. Even though the Rishonim point out, as we're going to learn in a moment, we know from throughout Shas, v'snachaltem oisam levneichem achreichem, the Torah is very clear in teaching us that avodim k'mekar kidomi, that avodim have the status of real estate, halachically, not the same status as cash. So what are we saying? That avdik metatli. So they explain that even if the halacha considers avodim like karka, we can't say that the comparison is total, because this is an evid and this is karka. So as far as what we consider the avodim when it comes to sell them or to view them in terms of can they be collected to pay off debts or not, we look at them as metatli, and Rameya holds that even the metatlin of one of a husband who dies are obligated to be used to pay off the ksuba. Ibrahim Seima, Hakamashmalan, Rameya holds the avdik mekarkidami, and just like karka is obligated to be used to pay off the ksuba, so too is the avodim to be used. Now we continue another case. Ha'isha Shnis Ava, this is diagram 232. Hisha Shnis Ava Veloda Bevlad Kalosa. We have the following situation. We have a couple. Their name is Yitzchak and Chana. And they have two children. one child's name is God, and the other child's name is Asher. And Asher took Rachel for a wife, and they had a son, Menashe. Chana has another son besides God to Yitzchak. We'll call him Mr. Aleph. Rachel has another son to Asher besides Menashe, and we'll call him Mr. Beis. Aleph and Beis get mixed up. So, in this situation, God has a brother, because he shares a mother, Chana, with one of them, and he has a nephew, and Menashe has a brother, again, we don't know who it is, and a uncle, not knowing. But we have to stop here and remember something. One is allowed to marry a niece. One is not allowed to marry an aunt. So now Aleph and Beis, who don't know who their parents are, get married, and die without children. So now, God and Menashe are the brothers of the husbands who have to do Yibam. So now, says the Mishnah, the daughters, the son of Rachel, who is the son of Rachel, meaning Menashe, can only do Chalitza. Because, let's understand why. One of them is his sister-in-law, who he's obligated to do Yibam with, but the other one is his aunt. He can't do Yibam with an aunt. Since he doesn't know who is who, he has to give both Chalitza. On the other hand, let's look at the other one. God, who is the son of Chana, could do either Chalitza or Yibam. Because one is his sister-in-law. A sister-in-law is the mitzvah of Yibam. Or, if it's not a sister-in-law, it's a niece. A niece Yibam is allowed to be married. So, says the Mishnah, not explicitly, the Gemara is going to say explicitly, as long as the Chalitza is done before Yibam, because we're not sure that the Yibam is really done as a Yibam, it might just be a marriage, Menashe only has the options of doing Chalitza, and God could do Yibam, and he'll end up either marrying his real sister-in-law and doing the mitzvah Yibam, or worst case, he'll be marrying a niece, which is also mutter. That's what the Mishnah says. Ha'ish shenis arv v'lod v'vlad kalosa, higdila teravis v'nosu noshim u'meisu, b'nei kala, that means Rachel's son, Menashe. And the Rishonim point out, to make everything simple, Menashe has no other brothers, and God has no other brothers. Choltsim v'lem yadmim, because one woman here is his sister-in-law, but the other woman here is his aunt, and you're not allowed to marry an aunt. So since she's sofik eishes achiv, sofik eishes achrei aviv, and you can't marry your aunt, b'nei zakeina, Chana's son, God, choltsim oy miyabim. She's sofik eishes achiv. The two women here, one is possibly a sister-in-law, and one is eishes ben achiv, and one is a niece. Either way, you can marry sister-in-law in the situation of Yibam or niece. Next case. Meisu Aksherim. We have the exact same case as we had before. God and Menashe, who we know who their mothers are, die without children. And they have wives. God's wife is Chava, Menashe's wife is Rivka. They fall, here we have the opposite, they fall to these two people who were confused. We don't know who is who. So, the halach is, these two children could do chalitza and not Yibam. Because there's always a concern that one is the wife of his uncle. So the daughter, the one that's really the son of Yitzchak and Chana, can do Yibam. Because it's, again, either brother-in-law, the wife of God is his sister-in-law, No, I'm sorry. I have to repeat myself. We have Aleph and Beis now required to do Yibam, because Aleph and Beis are the brothers of God and Menashe. Just we just don't know who is God's brother, and we don't know who's Menashe's brother. So now, let's figure it out. The Halach says the Mishnah, as far as God's wife is concerned, which means Chava, Chava is only a candidate for Chalitza and not for Yibam. Because there's always a concern that Chava is an aunt, and an aunt you're not allowed to marry, your uncle's wife. On the other hand, Rivka certainly can be married, because either Rivka is a sister-in-law, so there's a mitzvah Yibam, and if she's not a sister-in-law, she's a cousin, and a cousin you're allowed to marry also. So that's why Chava is only eligible for Chalitza, and Rivka is eligible either for Chalitza or Yibam. And again, as we said a moment ago, first we do the Chalitzas and then the Yibam, because if the Yibam is not doing the mitzvah, we shouldn't have a problem of Yivam Lashuk. Here we go into the case in the Mishnah. Meisek Shurim had Teruvus L'Bnei Zekena, as far as the children of the Bnei Zekena means Chava, Cholzim V'Loyim Yabim, because she's either Sofik Eishas Achiv, she's either a sister-in-law, and then she could get married, or she's Eishas Achi Oviv, she's an aunt, and she can't be married. L'bnei Kala, as far as Rivka is concerned, Echad Chaylitz Vechem Yadim. Kohenis, says the Mishnah, another case. Now, we don't have to rely on diagrams anymore. We have a situation as follows. Kohenis Ava V'Lod B'Vlad Shifchasa. We have a Kohenis who has a Shifcha in a home. And they both have children, and there's a mix-up. We don't know whose son is whom. And before we go further, it's important to point out, the Paiskim discussed this. These scenarios are not that far-fetched. In the world that they lived in, where they didn't live in modern technology, where a child, as soon as he's born, was properly, so to speak, labeled, that we should know who his parents are, and I guess nowadays we could probably do DNA testing to really identify who the parents are, it was very easy to get confused. So these things happened, up to the point where I saw a tshuva from the Chelkas Yaakov that says perhaps one should not have a child in a hospital. Because who's going to make sure that, he says there's a nursery in the hospital with many children that are all born relatively at the same time, and who could testify clearly whose son or whose child is whose? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach takes issue. He says nobody should take that seriously. If somebody has to have a child, the place to go is to the hospital. But again, just to put it into perspective. So here you have a situation as follows. Kohanis shenis arva v'lod v'vlad shifchasa. You have a kohanis that her child and her shifchas child got mixed up. Harei oichlim truma. They're both allowed to eat truma. Because the halacha is a kohen eats truma, and an eved of a kohen eats truma. V'cholken chelek ech v'gerim, but they only get one portion. We'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara soon. Ve'im etam l'meisim. Neither of these two individuals may become Tamei, because one's a Kayin. So even though we don't know which one is the Kayin, they both have to be treated as Kohanim, even though the Mishnah Lamelech says that that's not exactly a very hard and fast rule, because he explains the following situation. Let's say the father of one of them dies. So they should both become Tamei, Meranushach. One, it's his father, so Kayin becomes Tamei to his father. And if he's not a Kayin, so he's allowed to be Tamei anyway. When the Mishnah says, Eimetam L'meisim, if it's not one of the close relatives, Ve'inoisim Noshim, Ben Kshes Ben Psulus, neither of them can get married. One is a Kohen, he's not allowed to marry a woman who's possible. One is an Eved, and he's not allowed to marry Bas Yisrael. So what do? Hektilu HaTaroivitz, we wait till they become adults, this is the way the Gemara is going to explain it, then Shichru Zerzeh, and now they should free each other. One is the Eved and one is the Kayin. One is the owner and one is the slave. Free each other. But now, so neither of them is an Eved. But one is a Kayin and one is not. So says the Mishnah, Noishim Noshim Ruyus Lakuna. Both of these individuals may only marry a woman who a Kayin can marry. Because since we don't know which one is the Kayin. Similarly, they Mekamim. neither of them is allowed to become Tamei. Since one of them is a Kayin, I don't know which one, so they have to act L'chumra. Again, the Rambam tells us, the way to understand this mission is Sofik Darais L'chumra. There's a real Sofik Midaraisa, which is a Kayin. A Kayin is not allowed to become Tamei, so neither of them could go to Levaya. V'nitnu, however, if they become Tamei, ain't Sofik Kazabon. Again, explains the Rambam why. Because we never give a person an einish, a punishment, unless we know for sure that he did an avera. Here we can't know for sure that an avera was done. They're not eichlem b'truma. They're not allowed to eat truma, because a kohen is allowed to eat truma. A non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. We don't know who is the kohen and who's not. However, vim achlu ein mishalem keren v'chaimish. If they eat, even though, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, and the halacha is that if a Yisrael eats truma, he has to pay the kohen a keren v'chaimish. Here, if one of these individuals eats truma, he could say, I'm a kohen. And we have a rule, again, the Rambam tells us to understand the Mishnah this way, throughout Shas, of Hamaitzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. So we're coming telling, the kohanim come to this individual and tell him, you have to pay. You ate truma. You have no right. He says, prove that I'm not a kohen. However, says Tosfos, interesting Tosfos, Tosfos says that even though this individual ate the truma, he wasn't supposed to, that ate the truma, doesn't have to pay Keren V'Chaimish, but there's two parts in the payment. Very interesting. This is the way the Mefarshim explained Tosfos. One part of the payment is Gzela. If I take something from you, I have to pay you back. Another part of the payment is a Kapara. I did an Aveira. I'm a non-Kayin and I ate truma. That Aveira is here. How does one have a Kapara for that Aveira? By segregating a Keren V'Chaimish. Says Tosfos, that even though he won't have to actually give it to the Kayin, he could sell it to the Kayin, but he doesn't have to, he does have to segregate it, because he possibly did an Aveira, and only by separating the Keren V'Chaimish will he have a Kapara. V'nitnu ain't Saifkin Sabon, v'enoichim Tshuma, v'machu ain't Misham Keren V'Chaimish, v'en Cholkin al Goyrin. They don't deserve to go to the Goyrin with a distributed Tshuma to get a share, because neither of them is definitely a kayin. Or marchin is a truma. If they have truma, in other words, they have produce that they separate truma out of, they don't have to give it to a kayin. Because the halacha is that a kayin, this is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, a kayin doesn't have to give truma. It's like taking from the right packet to the left packet. So here, he doesn't have to give it, but he has to separate it, and he's not allowed to eat it. Why is he not allowed to eat it? Because he may not be a kayin. So he could sell it, even though it has a lesser value, supply and demand. There's a supply of truma, and only fewer people could eat it. Only kohanim. Although, there's an interesting Rashba. The Rashba, this is the way the Shar HaMelech explains the Rashba, says like this. There's a takonas chazal, that even though a kohen is allowed to eat truma, if a kohen has produce, he has to separate truma. Says the Rashba, that the halacha is, that he has to separate and give truma. So ask the Shar HaMelech, according to the Rashba, why is this individual any worse than a kohen? If he was for sure a kohen, he would have to separate truma and give it away. So now that he's a suffix, should he be treated any more leniently? So Shar HaMelech says a very interesting pshat. He says, this gzeiros chazal, that a kohen, even though he's a kohen, has to separate truma from his produce and give it away, was only said to a real kohen. A suffix kohen, since it's a Muslim Lashchicha, Chazal never made such a takana. Umarchanas a truma, v'adom shalahem, v'en chok mekotcha amigdosh, they're not entitled to the parts of the carbon that are divided up and given to the Kohanim. So the way Rishonim explain it, why is this different than truma? Just like we learned earlier in the Mishnah, that they're not entitled to truma, they're not entitled to this either. Answer the Rishonim. Truma is something that's eaten. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they used to say if somebody eats truma, it must be a proof that he's a real kohen. So we could understand why we wouldn't give him truma. But nothing like that is said regarding the hides of kabbonis. So maybe they're entitled to a portion, teaches us the Mishnah that not. They know Islam kachim, two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat Rashi says is as follows. We know that every week in the Beis HaMikdash, a different mishmer, a different rotation did the Avoida. If I have to bring a carbon, I, Yisrael, have to bring a carbon, I have to bring it that week, and whichever kohen is on duty, he brings my carbon. A kohen has a different din. If a kohen has to bring a carbon, he could choose that he should bring it himself, or he could choose which kohen he wants to bring it. Says the Mishnah, they could choose which kohen. Rashi doesn't like that pshat. So pshat Rashi prefers is that the chayris and charamim go to kohen, not to these sofikahanim. They might see him shalhem miyadehem. If a bechor or a chayrim, Rashi says, is in their possession, again, I might mechaver all of a raya, they have to bring a raya that they're not kohanim, and nobody could bring that raya, and that's why they could keep it. But Tosfos makes an interesting point. Tosfos says the halacha is that even when one is a kohen and he has a chayrim, chayrim meaning that somebody says something should be chayrim and belongs to the kohen, he has to give it to another kohen. So here, how could they keep it? So Tosfos says these two individuals make a deal between themselves. One of us is a kohen, one is not. So whoever is not, we're giving it to the other one. These are the matnas kohuna that have to be given from any animal by non-kohanim, but they could say, prove them not a kohen. And if he has a bechor, the halacha is that we wait till it becomes balmum, and then he could eat it. 2 points that the Rishonim make. Why does the Mishnah use the word bechoroi? Why not bechorom? To teach us, the bechor was born by one of them. If there was a bechor born to them that they both own, it makes sense that it's not a bechor, because one of them is definitely a kohen. But if it was born only to one of them, bechoroi, he has a 50% chance that he's not a kohen. Still, since the halach is a mitzvah mechavera all of a raya, he could say, prove that I'm not the kohen. Now they ask another shayla. Interesting shayla. The halacha is, we learned from Masechta Rosh Hashanah. There's a din about ta'achar. If I'm obligated to give something, I have to give it right away. I can't hold on to it. So here we're saying, let them hold on to it till it becomes a balmum, but maybe you're not allowed to hold on to it. So they answer that here it's referring to a situation where he inherited a bechor. The halacha that one has to give his bechor immediately to a kohen if it's not a balmum is if he has a bechor born in his own flock. But if he inherits a bechor, that then doesn't apply. The nice thing of chumri kahanim and chumri Yisraelim, we treat these people, we don't know who's the kohen, who's not the kohen, we give both of them the chumris of a kohen and the chumris of Yisrael. So we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed the case, Mesu HaKsherim. And we didn't point this out, we waited for the Gemara. The Mishnah said, the Gemara points out, there's no kosher in Pasul. The question is, who is who? That the word Kshayim is inappropriate. El Hanak Mishum the Arvil who have Psulim. Just because we don't know who their parents are, makes them Pasul. Amra Papa, Emu Mesa Havadoam. Don't use the word Kshayim. Havadoam means the ones that we know who their parents are, versus the ones who don't know who their parents are. Lebnei Kal Echet Chaylitz. So again, the Gemara says something that we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah. Dafka Mechlitz V'Hada Yivumi. The order has to be first chalitz and then yibum. Av yivum beleisher loy, not yibum first. The kabab gama be yivum l'shok. As we explained, every time the yibum is done, the way we explained in the Mishnah, I'm not going to review all the cases. We explained that either it's really doing the mitzvah yibum, or he's marrying the woman that he's allowed to. But if this woman is not the woman that who's his yivama, if she didn't have chalitza first, she's a yivum l'shok. I'm marrying a woman who still has the obligation of Yibam. That's why the Mishnah always says, do Chalitza first. Chalitza, as we've learned, 100 blood almost. You take out, they take off the Zika, and after that takes off the Zika, then you marry her. And I'm a man of Shach. If she's the Yavama, you're doing Mitzvah Yibam. And if she's not your Yavama, you're marrying a woman that you're allowed to marry. Kehenesha and Arif, as the Gemara, Chelek Echa Pshita. The Mishnah says that they only get v'chalk and chelk echad begarim, that these two children, one is a kohen and one is an eved, got confused, got mixed up, they only get one portion. Says the Gemara, of course they only get one portion. In fact, Mefarshim point out, from here we see there were preset portions of truma. So of course they're only entitled to one set, because they're only, one of them is a kohen. Answer the Gemara, eim chelk kechad. They only could get together. Because if one will come by himself, and we see them giving him truma, we'll assume that this individual is a kohen, but we know he may be an eved. Says the Gemara, Tanan, our Mishnah follows the opinion of the man, the Omer, that holds, Ein Chokin Truma Leved Elm Kein Rabbi Imoy. Even though an Eved is entitled to eat Truma, says this Mishnah, we don't give him Truma, because people may assume that if we see him giving him Truma, they may not think, he's an Eved, they may think he's a Kohen. That's why we never give him a Truma without his boss there. The Tanya, Ein Chokin Truma Leved Elm Kein Rabbi Imoy, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yoichi Omer, Yochashi Omer, Im Kohen Ani, he's entitled, because he say the following, if I'm truly the Kohen, Tunili B'Shvila, I deserve Truma. V'im Eved Kohen Ani, if I'm only the Eved, I'm still entitled, Tunili B'Shvil Rebbe. What is the basis of the Machloikis, as we alluded to? V'im Kohen Mishil, Rav Yehuda Ha'imal M'Truma L'Yuchsin. And where Rav Yehuda lived, if somebody got Truma, they assumed that he was a Kohen. So we're very careful who we give Truma to. Because we have to be sure that he's a Kohen. Because people could, if people see us giving him Truma, they may assume he's a Kohen. So that's why we could give him Truma. And there won't be a concern that maybe if people see me giving him Truma, they'll assume he's a Kohen. Because just because you see me giving him Truma doesn't mean he's a Kohen. Says the Gemara. Tanya Amar of Elizabeth Tzadik. In my entire life, I only said one time testimony. And somebody who was only an Eved was almost made into Eved, made into a Kohen because of what I do. Says the Gemara, a tzaddik made such a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful to make sure that the Vodim of that the animals of a tzaddik don't eat something they're not supposed to. The famous story where Pinchas ben Yoz Hamor that didn't eat something that wasn't properly taken off Trumas and Mises. Tzaddikim atzma koshkein el emu bikshel halas evel kunal pi. They almost did it. How did this mistake happen? Chazer be'asrei de Rabbi Yosi. What he saw was in the place of Rabbi Yosi somebody getting Truma. In Rabbi Yosi's place, as the Gemara just taught us, that doesn't mean anything. Because they gave even Avodim, because nobody was identified as a Kohen just because he got a portion of Truma. But then, the Ozava Asir Rabbi Yehuda, he repeated what he saw where Rabbi Yehuda lived. In Rabbi Yehuda's location, somebody who gets Truma is elevated to being an Eved, a Kohen, and that's how this mistake came out. Tosfos says that this Girsa of the Gemara should be deleted. Because Tosfos says, and we said over this Tosfos many times, that this concept of hash the behemoth shel tzaddikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that the behemoths of tzaddikim don't eat something that they're not supposed to. Certainly tzaddikim, says Tosfos, that's only regarding midat achila. And we said this many times. Since macholos asuris, eating something not kosher, is such a serious offense, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure doesn't happen to a tzaddik. Here we're not talking about eating. Here we're talking about making somebody into a kohen. That's why Tosfos says this doesn't belong in our Gemara. But there are Rishonim that say that it does belong in our Gemara. Even according to Tosfos' Pshat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful to make sure that tzaddikim don't eat something wrong, there's 2 points. One is they say, here it has to do with eating. Because if he's a Kohen, he's entitled to eat certain things. If he's not a Kohen, he's not entitled. So it does have a relationship to Achila. Another Pshat that I saw is a very interesting Pshat. Daruch Lener says this Pshat. It's a big musr. The Aruch Lener says like this. Yes, Tosfos holds that specifically when it comes to Macholos Asuris, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim don't trip up. Nowhere else. But he says there's one more place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim don't make an error. That's that a tzaddik should not be the cause for someone else to do an Aveira, even if it has nothing to do with eating. Here, if his testimony would have been accepted, they would have made a person who's an Eved into a Kohen, which could have terrible repercussions. Even if it has nothing to do with eating, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never allow that a tzaddik should be the cause for an Aveira to be done by others. And that's why the Girsa of the Gemara remains correct.
Sent us about Barry.
Yeah.
So whenever